Lakes FM 101.5. Good afternoon. This is Heather Bishop. Thank you for joining us for our special Lakes Region Community Forum, Focus on Mental Health. 1 week ago today, former Franklin Police Chief Bradley Haas was shot and killed at the New Hampshire State Hospital by a man who was known to have mental health struggles. WMUR has reported that the man had been a patient at the mental health facility back in 2016. Incidents like this seem to be on the rise, or at least they seem to be hitting closer to home. Today, Lakes FM wants to take some time to discuss with local mental health experts on mental health what to do if you or someone you know is having a mental health crisis, and give you resources and information so you're better prepared. We're going to start with Maggie Pritchard. She's the CEO of Lakes Region Mental Health Center. Thanks for joining me today, Maggie.
Good afternoon, Heather.
Have you seen an uptick in mental health crisis, or is that just us hearing more about it in the news?
I think it's a combination of both. I think our ability to discuss mental health in general, given the most recent incidents and what's going on in our world, helps people to be able to come forward and voice their concerns or to refer someone to services that they've had concerns about for a long time. Incidents such as last week in Lewiston and this past week in New Hampshire tell us that there are people around us who we worry about, but that we're not always sure who to call and when to call someone, but that at least asking for help and understanding the situation will help us, hopefully someday, to prevent further incidents.
Now let's talk just about the basics about mental health. Growing up, when we did, it was not something that was talked about. And then in the 80s, it did become more mainstream. People were going to therapists. And have you seen the stigma kind of dematerialize over the years because more people are feeling comfortable to talk about this subject?
I wish that was the case. I wish that stigma wasn't a thing. I'm afraid that stigma is a thing that's been around for centuries, but it's more prevalent and we understand it more because it is verbalized more. In the old days, you would talk about your dear Uncle Buck, who had some issues, as your beloved uncle. And you took care of him as a family, and you didn't discuss what was wrong with him or what his symptoms were or what his diagnosis might have been with anyone else, but you took care of him. And now I think we're in a time where that care went away for whatever reason. People weren't able to give that kind of support, and now it's in the face of the public. But when the public gets it, and it's not their Uncle Buck, their understanding and ability to be empathetic and kind and understanding is somewhat lost because it's foreign to them. And so it's our job as people who work in the field of community mental health to bring that understanding, that kindness, that empathy to people in a way that they can appreciate and understand and extend their hand to someone and voice their concerns in a compassionate way so that people get the treatment that they need when they need it.
Do you also find that it's easier for people to get treatment now than it was back in the day? Back in the day, if you did have that Uncle Buck or Aunt May who had hysteria, they would put her or him into an institution and they were someone who was forgot about in the family tree. But nowadays, there's more outpatient services and medications, correct?
There are, and certainly reaching out to someone on behalf of a family member is something that we encourage people to do all the time. I think it's whether or not that person has an understanding of what's going on as well and that they're accepting of the help. You know, I often say that sometimes we go from black to white to get to the gray. And in community mental health, we've gone from institutional care to community care to somewhere fall in the middle, in that gray space where people are able to access what they need, whether it's inpatient care or outpatient care, when they need it, and that it's accepted and welcomed by everyone.
Now, mental health isn't necessarily a permanent condition, correct?
People recover. There are numerous studies that try to connect genetics to mental illnesses. Certain mental illnesses do seem to run in a family line, if you will, but we don't really know the causes, and we know that the treatment is helpful. So if I'm diabetic, some people go off diabetes medicine and are not considered diabetic. Look at people who have bariatric surgery, those kinds of things. What I would say in community mental health and in mental health services in general, if you have a clinical depression, you can and will recover from that if you work hard at it and you get the right treatment in place. But it will come back potentially in a time when you're under stress, in a time where maybe things have gotten to a point where you didn't think you needed to take your medicine anymore because you felt better, and then it's there again. And so people recover, they go back to work, they have jobs, beautiful additions to their family and their community. But we always say it's a long journey, and everybody's journey is different, and our job is to help them on that path.
Talking about being in recovery, a lot of people don't realize that mental health issues can be part of the base issue of more prevalent issues that we're finding in society, like addiction, homelessness, violence. What can people do? Are there resources for people before they get to those crisis points?
We're fortunate in the Lakes region to have numerous resources. We have outreach program through Navigating Recovery of the Lakes region that deals specifically with people who have substance use disorders and need services from a peer, that need outreach services because they're homeless. The connection between substance use disorders and mental health disorders is sort of a line that we drew a long time ago that doesn't need to be there anymore. We need to say that people have all kinds of issues going on in their life that need different kinds of supports, and we have to direct them to those resources. We have specialty resources. Kathy Ireland has a setup here in New Hampshire for intensive outpatient substance use treatment. We have sober houses. We have Horizons Counseling that's been around for a long time to deal with people whose primary diagnosis or the primary issue they're dealing with in their life right now is their substance use disorders. We have the medication-assisted treatment programs, great through Health First and through Concord Hospital at Franklin. So there are lots of resources in the community. It's really being able to engage with people at a time where they're looking for help and they're open to getting the help so that you can put them on that path. I think if we tried to dissect or unwind what's the connection between mental health and substance use disorder, we could be here all day trying to figure it out because it is so complex. It's like the chicken or the egg. Was I depressed and then I started drinking? Did I start drinking and then I got depressed? Did I start using because I was in emotional pain? Did I have emotional pain because I had trauma in my history? We work a lot with people to sort through all that and figure out what's the most important intervention at the time that's going to get to the root of what's going to make you better. And that's the most important thing we can do with you. Whether we know if the chicken came first or the egg, it's not going to matter. It's going to matter, can we support you in the way that you need to be supported to get onto the road of recovery? This mental health center, and there are 10 in the state of New Hampshire, this mental health center has been around since the early 60s and really came about because a pediatrician saw that parents who were bringing their children in for wellness checks and vaccinations and what have you were really struggling with their own mental health. And that physician had the wherewithal or the foresight to say, if we don't have healthy parents, how can we have healthy children? How can we hold hope for the kids to have the support that they need to be successful in life, successful in school, if we aren't taking care of the parents and paying attention to what their emotional needs are? And so he, with a group of other people, started the Community Mental Health Center. It was right after John F. Kennedy's Mental Health Act. And it's been a live and thriving, if you will, in the Lakes region for close to 60 years. So I'm very proud to be a part of this organization that's done God's work, if you will, for so long. And we have numerous services for people from 3 years old until 93 years old. And we find that people need our help at certain times in their life and that we're more than happy to be humbled and to step up to the plate and give them what they need. We're in the school districts helping kids at school to make life easier to access services. You don't want to make it complicated for somebody to ask for help and to get the help that they need. I always say if there's one lesson I could teach my children when they were small that I thought would last them a lifetime, it would be don't be ashamed to ask for help. You see kids struggling to be so independent. First, they just want to pull their pants up by themselves. And you say, hey, mom can help you. I'm standing right here, right? And they won't ask you for help. If you can teach your children at an early age that asking for help is strength, it is showing people that you are vulnerable and that you understand that you need something at a certain time and it takes another person to help you with that. It is the greatest gift you can give to anyone. And in mental health, we truly believe that.
Now, do you have programs for people who may be dealing with someone in their life who is going through mental health struggles?
Absolutely. A big part of what we do is family support. I mean, NAMI New Hampshire is the largest, if you will, supporter of family work in the state of New Hampshire. They're the National Alliance for Mental Illness. But we work with NAMI to put on educational programs. We work with families who are bringing their children in to see us, or families who bring their adult children in who need us and say, this is how we can support you. This is what we think your adult child needs, or your child needs, or your mother needs. With an aging parent, it's often difficult to be the primary caretaker and have those roles reversed. We're there to support those caretakers and to support their loved one at a time in their life where everyone feels pretty fragile.
Thank you so much, Maggie. We'll regroup with you in just a little bit. Right now, I want to talk with Kim and Christy, who are crisis counselors with Lakes Region Mental Health Center. Now, I want to talk about what to do if you are in crisis or someone you love is in crisis. And I would assume with the time change and the holidays, the need for mental health help is higher than ever this time of year.
There is a uptick in the need for mental health services year-round, but this time of year can be especially difficult with the holidays happening. It becomes more difficult for people to get out of the house, to see their loved ones, whether that's friends or family. Even our road conditions changing can put a barrier in between people getting the help that they need and just sitting home and not doing anything about it.
You know, seasonal depression is real.
Very real.
It's extremely real. And add that to regular depression, that's a double whammy.
It sure is. Absolutely. It can definitely bring people down even further this time of year.
So what can people do before they get to crisis point?
First thing we always recommend is try getting into services as quickly as possible. Call your local community mental health center or local therapist and start trying to get that help you need. There can be barriers to getting into that treatment in the first place, so just getting on the phone is one of the first steps and sometimes the hardest step.
It really is the hardest step for a lot of people, no matter what it is, whether it's addiction, whether it's starting a new physical fitness routine, is the first step is the hardest, but once you get that going, it can get easier.
Absolutely. Sometimes just saying out loud that you need help can make a huge difference in your mood, in the way that you can access that help. Once you kind of admit that this is not working for you, it can really do a lot in getting you to a place where you can actually get that help and receive that help.
What is the website or phone number that people could call?
So if you're looking for more information or want to schedule an appointment, all of our information can be found at lrmhc.org, or you could always give us a call at 603-524-1100, and what's called our access to care department, which will get you scheduled for an intake.
An intake doesn't necessarily mean in hospital. It just means information to help you get to that next step.
Absolutely. An intake is only the first step in getting into services. We want to make sure that you meet all the requirements and that you're somebody that we can make sure to provide those services for. So that intake appointment is just going to be gathering of information, and that's when you'll be able to start those services. And then on the flip side, if you need services in that moment, it's an emergency, or you are in a mental health crisis in that moment, you can always call the New Hampshire Rapid Response Access Point, and they can be reached at 833-710-6477, or you may have also heard of 988. That can also be utilized to contact the New Hampshire Rapid Response Access Point.
Thank you, Kimberly. Christy, on the flip side, if you are someone who is noticing a friend or family member who is having a tough time and you don't know what to do, what are some of the things that a loved one could do for that person in crisis?
As Kimberly had mentioned, even loved ones can call the New Hampshire Rapid Response Access Point, which is 833-710-6477, or like Kimberly had said, with a New Hampshire area code, you can dial 988 and it will be transferred directly to that number. When someone calls that number, they'll be in touch with either a mental health clinician or a peer support of some kind to provide therapeutic interventions and coping skill ideas to provide the loved one, who can then help try to support the individual in crisis or struggling with mental health.
Let me ask you this. So say I'm talking with a friend of mine. They say something that they may think is offhand, but I find could possibly be upsetting. I don't want to be overdramatic, but should I still call?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't hurt. You can also always call Lakes Region Mental Health and we could help support and assess whether it needs further intervention or not. The nice thing about the New Hampshire Rapid Response Access Point number is it provides phone support. And then if further intervention is needed, they can do what is called a dispatch and request a local community mental health center to show up to that individual. That can be sometimes in person, ideally in person, but it can also be via telehealth, especially in today's technological advances, to have a more immediate evaluation and have somebody there, again, via in person or in telehealth, for that individual to talk to. And that's really why this number is so important, because it's easily accessible. People can also text that number as well as 988, and then there's an online chat on the website as well.
Oh, that's great. So if you had a question or you had a concern and you wanted to kind of stay anonymous, you could go on the chat and ask, hey, this person said this. It makes me feel a little uncomfortable. Who should I contact about it?
Yeah. And they'll be able to direct you. The state access point can direct you to the individual's local community mental health center. It doesn't have to be if they live just in the Lakes region. They'll be able to support you regardless of where you live in the state.
We're obviously kind of skirting around the main issue. They called the police not knowing that that wasn't the best option. We think emergency, we automatically call the police. We think violence, we call the police. But in a situation like that, they probably should have called mental health providers.
And with the implementation of this statewide mobile crisis, New Hampshire Rapid Response, the police have come on board a lot and have been able to utilize the access point as another tool in their toolbox as well. So oftentimes it's the police who respond to a 911 call, recognizing, oh, this isn't necessarily a criminal emergency or a legal matter, but more of a mental health concern, and prioritizing that and asking for our support and assistance in helping that individual rather than just bringing them to the hospital because that was previously the only option. Or if it does involve some level of legal matter, just bringing them to jail. That doesn't help the individual experiencing a mental health crisis in the moment.
So much great information from the both of you. Thank you so much. Christy, one more time, the Lakes Region Mental Health website again?
LRMHC.org.
And you can go online to get resources. You can even do online chat and find all the numbers you need. Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to chat with Susan Stearns, the Executive Director of NAMI New Hampshire. You're listening to Lakes FM's Lakes Community Forum, Focus on Mental Health. We'll be right back after this.